In preface to what I'm going to speak about, and yes, I'm going to speak on thankfulness. The reason being that I've been trying to organise that into my life a lot more than I have in times past, and be aware that every day God is involved in my life in a way where I can say, thanks for this, thanks for that. One of the things that precipitated my doing this and trying to engage God a lot more, I do jigsaw puzzles. About a year or so ago, I was doing this puzzle, and I try to do the 1,000 pieces, and they're hard, that's good too. Anyway, I was going along and pieces here and there, and I picked up one, and it was as if I heard a voice. Not really, but this one goes here. Oh. Now, that's happened a few times with me. But then something happened. Then I just grabbed, and that one goes there, and that one goes up there. What? And I realized God was with me, and I didn't even invite him. And that made me feel very, very apologetic to God. And I said, oh God, I'm sorry that I didn't invite you here. And so I've invited him ever since. And I've seen him work constantly when I've invited him into whatever I do. And that has prompted thanks in my life. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for helping me drive here today, helping me do this in my gardening. Lord, thank you for this weed can come out so easily. Or things, just engaging thankfulness as a part of my existence because God is active in my life. So that brings us to what I want to say today. In his first letter to the Thessalonian church, Paul writes these words in his parting comments, and I'm just doing a short paraphrase. Always rejoice, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything. I've often pondered how it is possible to carry out these admonitions, especially the last one, give thanks in everything. In everything. Give thanks in everything. And I've found in studying the word that there's an answer here that I want to bring to you. So what does give thanks in everything really mean? The first thing to notice is the Greek preposition Paul uses does mean in, not for. So in his mind, he's got something else. He's thinking that the circumstances in which we find ourselves are not necessarily things that we can give thanks for, but we can give thanks in them. The second thing to understand is that God is the one to whom we direct the thanks. When Paul said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything, he's not thinking in terms of just getting up and saying, this is a wonderful thing to do, you know, enjoy it, hallelujah, give thanks in everything. He's saying God should be the recipient of your joy, because he's motivating you. God should be the recipient of your prayer. God should be the recipient of the thanks that you give him. I remember, can you just imagine if it was just, you know, a happy clappy thing? I remember a wonderful cartoon in the old On Being magazine where you had the disciples going on in joy, saying, wonderful, and Jesus is saying, no, boys, this way, this way. And I think sometimes we get a little bit carried away with the joy and all of that kind of stuff and not realize that maybe God doesn't want us to have that way. He wants us to give thanks in everything. He wants us to pray to him. He wants us to rejoice about him. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians that we read, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Rejoice in the Lord always. And I think in his letter to the Corinthians, to the Thessalonians, he's saying that whenever we give thanks in everything, he's saying that we give thanks to God in everything, that we rejoice about God in everything. And I want to carry that theme all the way through. The circumstances of life carries a great example. All of us probably have got a mobile phone. Now, the only problem with mobile phones is that they don't always function properly. I can nearly hear people saying, you know, talk to me about it. But the thing is that they usually work. And so we can give thanks to God for the fact that it usually works. And we can also give thanks to God that we've got something whereby we can communicate to others fairly regularly and well. It's a marvelous device, if only it'll work properly all the time. But can we give thanks for when the phone stops working? Interesting question. Well, sometimes I think we can. For example, sometimes we're tempted to turn it off anyway because I don't want to hear from anybody. But as well as that, it might be God's way of saying, look, don't get addicted to this stuff. You know, and I actually have a phone that doesn't have the internet on it. People sort of look at you and think, you haven't got the internet on your phone? What's the matter with you? And I'm saying, I don't want to become addicted to the phone. And so if it goes wrong, I don't have the expense of trying to find replacing it with a big thing that's going to cost a lot. We can rest in the knowledge that God allowed our phone to fail. He's got that control. Maybe God's intention was indeed to help us realize that technology is not all it's cracked up to be. And secondly, or similarly, I should say, we can give thanks in all of the other circumstances of life where things don't go according to our expectations. We can still give thanks in those situations. When the car ignition doesn't function, come on, start. Instead of saying, giving thanks for, we can still thank God in. And then we can actually go to God and say, Lord, what's the problem here? Give me wisdom. Help me understand what's gone wrong and how I can fix it. You know why God does that, I think? To make us dependent upon him. So we have lots of things on which we, you know, I don't need God for because these things work well. We're losing a little bit of touch. We should be all of the things that, you know, we've got that work well. I think we should hand them over to God and say, God, help me to understand how to use it. Help me to not depend upon it. Help me depend on you rather than anyone else. Sorry? I don't know. Kenny? Okay. Your name is?
My name's Yoko.
Yoko.
Some of these people know me.
Okay.
I just want to share, I feel this is a step of faith.
Okay.
As some of you know, at the moment, my mobile phone, I can't make calls, right? I can get calls, but I can't make calls.
Good idea.
Rob Horn, as you know, is a good friend. And Rob rang me to tell me about June's death, but I couldn't do anything about it.
I'm with you.
I couldn't ring Rob back. And I thought, what can I do? So the day after Rob got home, I went and saw him. I didn't ring him. And we had a wonderful time that wouldn't have been the same if I hadn't gone to see Rob, sat with Rob, listened to Rob. And so I actually recognised the fact that maybe that's why my phone didn't work. So that Rob, I couldn't just ring Rob, talk to him about it.
That's so, a wonderful story, okay? Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that with everybody, the fact that sometimes technology fails, but for probably a good reason.
A God intervention?
I think so. I really think so.
Thank you.
That's all right. Anybody else have had a similar experience? I think we can all identify that. So not only the phone, the car, the bus doesn't arrive on time, medical appointments cancelled. When our expectations are not met in a dozen other situations of life, we can still give thanks to God in those circumstances. And at the same time, we can relate to God, come to God, build the relationship that we have with Him, and ask Him what we should do. I could write a book on the many times, well, increasingly more times that I do that. In all of these circumstances, our response should be recourse to God, whatever befalls us. And I find myself saying often now, Lord, help me understand. Lord, what should I do about this? When I was a young Christian, I tell the story against myself, but I was trying to get into the house that I was renting at the time, and for 5 minutes I couldn't get in. 5 minutes, and I was getting upset all the time, and thinking, why won't it work? And then God tapped me on the shoulder and said, ask me. Oh, I'm sorry, God. Thanks. I put the key in the door and it worked straight away. You'd think I'd learned the lesson. Not necessarily so, but these days you can understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. So, in the circumstances, we can give thanks. I still fail him from time to time, but I want to do that. Now, what I want to say next is very, very important. And it's this. It is possible, and it's also appropriate, to give thanks in everything if we understand God's sovereignty in all the events and situations of life. God's sovereignty is one reason why Paul could write these words, give thanks in all circumstances. So let's have a look at the scriptures that deal with that situation. And I want to divide it up into three sections. God is sovereign in our physical abilities, our moral abilities, and in our day-to-day life. First thing I want to say is that God made us humans in His image and likeness. Since God has the faculty of speech, we also. Since God has the faculty of working, we can also. God can see, we also. We're made in our physical abilities because that's the way He made us, like Himself. And I want to give you an example. God gave a timely reminder to the Israelites through Moses that they are not the creators of their own abilities. He says in Deuteronomy 8, "Beware, lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth." Gosh, we need reminding of that constantly, constantly. God gives us these abilities. It belongs to Him. He gets the glory. We get the benefit. If we take that view, makes a world of difference to the way we live. God's also the author of our physical makeup. And Moses learnt that lesson at the burning bush in Exodus 3 and 4, that because God created Moses' capabilities, God knew that Moses was the man he wanted for the job. But Moses got in the way. And he said, "Oh, no, God, no, I'm slow of speech and I'm not very good and in all of that kind of things." And God responded, "Who is it that gives man speech? Who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Ouch. Ouch. God makes people dumb. God makes people deaf. In Moses' case, that was settled. They had a big deal and Aaron became the voice for Moses. But God said, "I'll get you to do the job." We learn some sobering realities here. God makes humans with the faculty of speech, but He also makes some without that ability. God creates ears so He might hear sounds, but some people are born deaf. And He's responsible. God gave us eyes to see our world, but some people are born blind. God makes children, but He also sometimes lets them die in the womb or after birth. These are realities we may not like, but they are part and parcel of the life we experience. God also makes children with Down syndrome. In his book, The Clowns of God, Morris West, the Catholic Australian author, portrays Jesus returning to earth in a later part of the book, and he visits a family with a Down syndrome child. He places the child on his lap and serves him with the bread and wine and Eucharist. And you could hear a penny drop as he did that in the midst of those people, because he could hear the people saying, "Why did you make him like this?" And Morris West writes this response Jesus gives. I gave this mite a gift I denied to all of you, eternal innocence. He will never offend me as all of you have done. He will never pervert or destroy the work of my Father's hands. He is necessary to you. He will evoke the kindness that will keep you human. His infirmity will prompt you to gratitude for your own good fortune. More, He will remind you every day that I am who I am, that my ways are not yours, and that the smallest dust mite, while in darkest space, does not fall out of my hand. What do we do with this? Well, we see the world full of imperfect people, and you and I share in that reality. But in these imperfections, God has created a way whereby we can honour His name and pass on His goodness to one another so that others can see beyond the imperfections to the potential perfection promised to all those who love and obey him. One of the wonderful passages of Scripture is Romans 8, and in that Paul says this: the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. And in that renewed world, our physical abilities will no longer be hindrances, but glorified as originally intended by their Creator. And for that, we give thanks, that there is a future where the absence of the things, the imperfections, the unblessed expectations that we have will no longer play a part. Secondly, God's sovereign in creation in our moral abilities. Many years ago, after I finished high school, I tell the story, I worked for about nearly 6 weeks in a menswear store in the suburban Botany in Sydney. And after I'd finished that 6 weeks, the owner gave me a reference. And in it, he wrote these words: I have found him to be honest, punctual, and conscientious. I think others can say whether that's true or not. I try to, that's for sure. But it raises some questions. Why? Why are these things part of our humanity, and why are they things considered worthy of praise? Punctuality, honesty, conscientiousness. Well, part of the answer could be that I was taught by my parents that way, and I was to a great degree. Another part could be that I inherited from my Aunt Ida. Aunt Ida was well known as a wonderful lady who exemplified all of these qualities. But where did they get it from? Where did they value? Why did they value conscientiousness? Why did they value honesty and punctuality and all of those things? And where did they get it from? Well, the answer is God. God made us with these qualities. Yes, they've been upset by our sin. There's no doubt about that. But they are there in us. We have the capability of doing it, even though sinfully affected. And he is the source of honesty and truth. God is the source of faithfulness that keeps us punctual and conscientious. These scriptures tell us that God is the source of all goodness. And he spells that out in that wonderful passage that Harry read out for us. And I just want to highlight the goodness of God. I've just done a little paraphrase that I hope will help you. God passes by and he says, this is the kind of goodness I am. The Lord, compassionate, I feel with you. Merciful, I don't like punishment. I don't want to do it. I want to have better than that from you because that's what I'm like. Patient, I'll wait, he says. I want to work on you and fill you with the good things. I'm patient. Faithful, I'm constant in my dealings with you all the time. I'm there. Always ready to lift the burden of guilt for human failures. In other words, God wants us to come to him and he'll forgive. Making sure, though, that those who don't seek his goodness are dealt with justly. In other words, he's fair. If people continue to reject him, there's punishment there that they bring upon themselves. God wants to be known. God invites us as his beloved children to experience the blessings of his nature. He is sovereign for us in the what we are morally. God wants us to recognize our dependence also on him in our daily lives. Believing that God is involved in every moment of our lives for our good means we can give thanks in all of the happenings of daily life. The undesirable events can be greeted with thanks because our mind is set in that framework. This is especially so in the area of making plans. These days, friends, whenever I sort of said, Jeff, are you coming to this? Instead of saying, oh yes, I'll be there, I'm saying, God willing, I'll be there. And I'm trying to incorporate that into all that I do. Just the other day, I was doing an email and about something that I'm going to, and I said, my plan is to do that, Deo volente, God willing. And trying to build into my mind the idea that I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, this is where it says in James. He says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. You don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Oh, gee, I love that. Getting to love it more and more as each day passes, that we just put it to God. Lord, I've got this plan. Thank you when it does come. Giving thanks in that circumstance if it doesn't or if it does. God, lastly, I want to say that, and this is near the end now, you'll be glad. God is sovereign for our good. I love this part when the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans. We know that to those who love God, who are called according to his plan, everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. What he's saying here is that nothing happens to those of us who love God that is not a part of God's good desire for us in becoming like our Heavenly Father. God's plan is to make us like himself, children of a loving Father, chips off the old block. God has created us for the good that reflects his nature. Paul writes similarly, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Oh Lord, help us. Let me sum up. We are made by our Heavenly Father to be like him, to live in close relationship with him, to reflect his nature and purposes in all that we do, in all of the context of giving thanks for all he brings our way. This is expressed in a wonderful song called Day by Day. It was written by a Norwegian lady who wrote it sometime after, her father died when the ferry on which they were travelling got some turbulence. He fell overboard and drowned. And she wrote these wonderful words, and I hope I can sing it because it's such a beautiful song. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Friends, brothers and sisters, may this be our attitude of heart and mind in all that happens in our lives. And may we thus give thanks in everything. Amen.